Today is Saturday, December 3rd. I'm at the Royal Theatre here in Victoria with Yukichi Hattori from the Alberta Ballet. So welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
So you're one of the main dancers in the company, a principal dancer, and you're also a choreographer. Can you tell me a little bit about your background, your training, and how did you get into dance?
So my parents are both actors. I was born into a theater, per se. My grandfather is a pop music composer in the 50s. My uncle and cousin is a composer as well. So we're all very art-oriented family. So being in the arts was definitely not a question.
And where was this?
In Tokyo, Japan. Yeah, I started ballet training when I was 6 in Japan. I stayed there till the age of 13. That's when I moved to Germany, Hamburg. And that's where I had my ballet education at the Hamburg Ballet School. And then 1999, I joined the Hamburg Ballet Company as an apprentice. In 2003, I became soloist there, and then in 2006 I moved to Alberta Ballet.
So why dance? Because it sounds like you have musicians and actors in your family, but why ballet?
Well, when I was 5, I showed the most interest in musical one, which my father was participating in, and I actually for myself said that I want to be part of that kind of show. And they thought, to begin with, ballet is the hardest art form to achieve unless you start very young. So in my parents' mind, singing and acting, you can start a lot later and still achieve a certain level of quality. So they thought to put me into ballet first, and I just stuck with it.
And how did you make the transition from Japan to Germany? You left home. How old were you at that time?
13.
13, so
yeah.
What was that like?
Well, I was never really into academics to begin with. And, well, Japanese ballet scene was very strict, but not necessarily in a sense that it would provide a better quality. It was strict in a sense of it was bound by tradition and lots of bad habits that is unnecessary. Of course, there are very good aspects of being disciplined and, you know, having respect to your colleagues and teachers and mentors and things like that. But I felt like I wasn't really exploring to my fullest ability. So when I saw Hamburg Ballet tour in Japan, and I was one of the kids in Swan Lake, and I saw how much there is out there, and I just couldn't hold myself to ask for permission to go to the school.
And what's it like being at a school? You're boarding, you're away from your home,
mm-hmm.
It's a professional school, so can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, it was definitely, I definitely had to adapt and learn the language really quick. And
so you knew no German before you went?
I spoke a bit of English because my mother was, she had the foresight to teach me English in Japan just in case this happens. So yeah. So having a little bit of English did help, but there was barely any Japanese students of my age, so it was kind of essential that I learn German and learn their way of living, speaking, behaving to each other, and things like that.
And what was the syllabus that they were teaching at that school?
Our school does not have syllabus. Every teacher comes from different background, Vagarova, Bournonville. We didn't have RAD or Cecchetti. But every single teacher knew each other's methods inside out, so we were able to really fuse them together, which I find now that I know that there are all these syllabuses and different aspects of ballet, I can actually adapt to any style, so it was very ideal.
Mm-hmm. What did you take away from that school experience, most of all?
Rigorousness is definitely a key, because all my teachers, they're very, very hard about being disciplined and being respectful of the art form itself, that this is something you need to be just as precise as a scientist, yet just as free as musicians and composers. So yeah, those, that the daily work matters, but you can't be too strangled by the theory as well. It's a very hard balance to achieve, which I'm still trying to do, but because I have the ideal branded into me, I can, without having them around me constantly, I can still feel like I'm being guided by them.
Mm-hmm. What was it like being in the company in Hamburg?
Well, I am only 5'3" and I'm Asian. I don't have particularly long legs or things like that, so it was very hard for me to find the, it was essential for me to survive, for the to convince the artistic director to find a necessity to keep me in there because of my physical state. So I had to have some kind of strength that no one else had, and that being my acting background from my parents, or knowledge of the music from my composer family members, or, you know, I worked on the technique that no one else would, and I just had to find my own color,
mm-hmm.
really. But now that I am a little bit more mature artist, I do realize that no matter how you look, you still have to find that color of yours to really become an artist of your own.
Why did you opt to leave, and why did you come to the Alberta Ballet?
So I moved there when I was 13, and by the time I was, you know, in the company, I've already been there for 5 years, and I spent another 7 years in the company, and I felt a bit too comfortable. I knew pretty much how things work in that place, and people knew what I was good at, and I never felt like I was being challenged in the things that I'm not particularly strong at, because there are enough dancers and so many talented dancers, and you know, that whatever I didn't do good enough, I didn't have to do it. So
what kinds of things did they have you do, and what kinds of things did you want to do?
It's not so much about wanting or not wanting in the sense of me growing as an artist, but all I was assigned was tormented contemporary characters that I was able to build upon my acting background, and the choreographer and I, John Neumeyer and I, was really able to have a mutual relationship in a sense that he will give me a theme and I will build things around it to my character, so it becomes something a little more than just a one person's point of view. It was very, you know, profound and multidimensional. So that, in that aspect, I learned a lot from him, the building of the drama and the character, and how much work is involved in choreography before they even step into the studio. But I was never being able to do partner work or really very classical work. I was never really a part of. Like, I would do Bronze Idol for Bayadère and Alain for La Fima Garde, things like that. But that being still a character artist, you know, more in a sense. Yeah. So I just had to leave my artistic father and, yeah, explore.
And so why the Alberta Ballet, or how the Alberta Ballet? How did you find them? How did they find you?
Well, it was just coincidence. You know, I go for auditions, and it, again, with my physical limitation, it was very hard to find a company that would hire me, even after I've accomplished few more things than when I was 19. So this is the place that they accepted me. And
they came to Germany, or you knew about them, or?
Well, my wife is from Edmonton, so she was just home visiting and found out that they were interested. So we said, sure, why not?
And what's it like with the Alberta Ballet? What keeps you there besides the fact that it's home for your wife and so on?
I think it's the possibility that I'm able to explore. Because although Europe has a very high standard in, you know, theater art and, well, art in general, really. Like, they breathe and they live art. I did somehow sometimes feel that the art in the audience's head, there are so many things that are already pre-programmed, that there was too many taboos and there were too many things that shouldn't be done, and art needs to be this way and that way, and things like that. But here I feel a little more that I can be more experimental, in a sense that maybe I can find something new and maybe I can do something that I'm good at. Because my grandfather, he was a jazz composer, and he always produced a little more pop jazz kind of thing. So I have that entertainer side in me that I feel very comfortable in, and I like to make people laugh. And in Europe, it's a little more intellectual art that is being cherished and adored and things like that.
So what are some of the works you've done with Alberta Ballet that you've really enjoyed doing?
Well, like, I enjoy finally dancing classical ballet, for one. It's something really that I never thought of even worth trying because of, you know, again, European audience has this particular vision, like, prince has to look a certain way, and princess have to look a certain way, which is great. It's a tradition that needs to be kept, and I'm not saying that every single rule has to be thrown away, but for me personally, it was a challenge. I wasn't able to squeeze into that little bit of tight space there.
Is ballet racist? Do you think classical ballet is racist?
Well, it's definitely an aristocrat's art, and I don't want to call it racist, because of course you can do Othello probably in a way that color doesn't matter if you wanted to, if that was the goal from the beginning on. It's always how you approach it. It's just that it is a fantasy and it's a fairy tale, and I think certain illusions are better kept a certain way, and you know, superficial things in dance is definitely a part of it. So it's a fine line, I guess. Like, we do judge people by their techniques and their, you know, body lines, and it's like painting a picture. So like, certain things, yellow has to be yellow. You can't paint purple and try to convince people that it is yellow. I mean, of course, you can draw a purple sun, and, you know, that might be interesting, but, of course, I guess that becomes a contemporary art rather than a classic.
So what are some of the roles that you have danced that you really enjoyed?
Well,
the specific roles.
Right, like Midsummer Night's Dream, that's the only one that I can actually get in, because Puck is definitely something a shorter dancer can't do, and so that's a ballet that I was able to do in Hamburg as well, and that was classical ballet, and I enjoyed that a lot. And there are a few roles that I created with John Neumeier. I did Stanislav Nijinsky in his ballet called Nijinsky. It's the brother of Vaslav Nijinsky. And he was, I think, he passed away in an asylum. So I get to dance the solo that is me being tortured by this visions of war and things like that. So that was definitely something that really made me grow up as an artist. And I was only 21 back then. No, 19 actually.
Wow.
Something like that, yeah.
Now you've really become the public face of the Alberta Ballet in many ways, particularly recently. Can you talk about some of the work that you've done recently?
Well, yeah, Love Lies Bleeding, the Elton John Ballet, definitely has made us popular. Like, very popular. And me, myself, as well, I guess. Like, we're going to be broadcasting CBC and things like that, so... Yeah. Well, in Hamburg, I had that kind of reputation as well, doing Dancing Park and dancing Stanislav Nijinsky, things like that. So I guess because of my physical state, people are easy to recognize me on stage, I guess. So, and yeah, I seem to have learned from all of my fellow artists how to entertain people, I guess. I would like to believe, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Elton John piece? What was it like to create? What's it like to perform? Have you met Elton John?
No, I haven't actually. Well, this to me, this piece is a lot more than just Elton John anyway. It's more like about, you know, artists in general having two different lives going on at the same time and how you have to balance that and how dangerous it is to, you know, be tipped to one or the other side. And it's really any artist's life, in a sense. So I approached it more towards that kind of bigger picture, so that the piece itself becomes a lot more about just dancing to Elton John's music. That's definitely a challenge, and I guess I'll be working on it until I stop dancing.
It's a demanding piece. How long is it?
It's about 1 hour and 45 minutes without intermission.
And you're on stage, because the character you play is called Elton
Fan.
And you're on stage the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What's that like?
Well, I've done pieces that I'm on stage all the time. Feel them actually, and it's always demanding. But in Hamburg we did a piece that is to Bach's St. Matthew's Passion, which is about 4 hours long, and every single dancer is on stage all the time, dancing or not dancing. I mean, defined dance, sitting can be dancing as well. You are always present on stage, so that alone teaches you a lot. And I think that kind of experience made it easier for me to be on stage constantly and not run out of steam for the entire 2 hours. And physically, it's always easy. Any athlete achieves it. You just train yourself, practice, 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 and you get used to it after a while.
Well, you make it sound easy, but...
That's the thing, like, everyday practice. I think the first step to really reach you know, first key to really try to achieve an mastery in art is definitely that you work the work you put in every single day, and how much you put in is definitely directly proportionate to how much you can grow.
What about your own work? Because you are a choreographer, how did you get into choreographing work?
Well, the Hamburg Ballet School has a choreography class, so I started there, and...
That's mandatory, or you can just take it or not take it?
Oh, it's a mandatory
it
class.
Is.
Yes.
Is it?
Some people hate it. Yeah, there are lots of dancers who are just like, well, I'll just dance whatever I'm told. Which I kind of disagree, but anyway, yeah, so that's how I got into choreography. And again, the first piece I made was because I had nothing to do. Because there are a few productions in Hamburg that was very balletic, so I wasn't cast for anything, so might as well do something. And there was a competition coming up, so I did a little solo, and that got like an encouragement prize and things like that. So I started to think maybe I could do this. Yeah, and in Japan I was lucky enough to find an agent and produce a show and things like that.
In Tokyo?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit more? What pieces did you do? What was the response?
Well, the pieces were, well, every single summer we would do like a different type of pieces. First one was based on mystery novel, which actually I approached them to do that piece. But of course it wasn't like Sherlock Holmes kind of thing. I really liked the motif of the criminal and what the victim went through and things like that. That drama was very emotional and danceable, so I wanted to do that. And that one was a very big success, and I feel like I was guided by something else to make that piece, because I still haven't quite reached that kind of intensity and drama in my other pieces yet. So that one's definitely a hard one to beat. And I've done dances to my grandfather's music, which is very popular in Japan. Yeah, I worked with different kinds of dancers, street dancers, contemporary dancers, things like that. And I had orchestra on stage and we would dance in front, things like that. Yeah.
So if you come from a musical background, do you start with music? Or do you start with a narrative? Or do you start with some sort of intellectual idea? Or does it switch up depending?
Yeah, the starting point is always different. I just have my radars open and see what catches me.
So where are you now in your career? You're 31 years old.
Yes.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Well, I'm starting to teach as well, and in Japan I'm doing a workshop with younger dancers, and I'm really trying to find a new way of creating dance works, find a new way to present theater productions, because I feel like it hasn't developed so much from Killian and Forsythe. Since those two has established this new neoclassical contemporary fusion, I feel like it hasn't really moved on yet. I find Akram Khan and Sidi Larbi very interesting, and I'm trying to learn from them a lot just by watching their work and things like that. And I feel like Crystal Pite is very, you know, a step forward, especially the Canadian contemporary scene as well. Sadly, she's in Frankfurt. Yeah, but communicating with younger dancers, I feel, is like the key to stay fresh and know what's being asked by the generation that is up and coming, and try to find a new language, a new way of working, because the work ethic, I find, is very different, like my generation and the generation that is coming now.
More casual now?
Yeah, the rigorousness isn't really working.
Even in a professional context?
No, I'm having a hard time dealing with that. But I don't want to be this old grouch that just says, these young people, they don't know how to do anything. I want to understand why that is and where it's coming from, and what benefits could that, you know, mentality bring to the art. And yeah, I'm trying to have an open ear so that the classical ballet state right now, I find, is kind of a result that they kind of closed up in their own tradition and never really opened up and see where this can go. So I don't want to make the same mistake with myself and my art. So I'm trying to grow up from me and my art to us and our art, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So then, I mean, I think it's sort of implicit in what you're already saying, but if you had to define it, what makes a good teacher?
Ideally, I think a teacher should be able to change its approach to individual student. Like in Japan, that's why there are lots of things that are only taught from one person to another. There's only mentor-protege relationship. And I think if you really want to pass on everything that you have, then that's the best way to do it. But that'll be taking too much time and generations to really blossom. So what I'm trying to do is really make myself grow through communicating with them rather than teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when it comes to ballet technique, it's only one way. Like, they have to listen to what the teacher has to say and form their body into that, you know, shape. But when it comes to being an artist, I think it's always communication rather than teaching and learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've had so many different aspects to your career, and you've been with the company here, with the Alberta Ballet, for
6 years.
6 years. So you're immensely qualified to answer this question then. What does it mean to be an artist in Canada today?
I feel like the countries are diminishing regardless. I'd like to think that we're all just people living on Earth. So to me, the answer is simply what it is to be an artist.
Yes.
In this world. And I think you have to live it to be it. Because it's really not just what you do on stage. It's about who you are. And you're supposed to be inspiring the audience. So you yourself have to be following the ideal that you are aiming to become the human being that you want to be. And that straight, you know, that transfers straight into the work that you do. And yeah, I think unless you are not living to be an artist, of course you can't, you know, take the hints and inspiration that is out there and transform that into a theater production or a painting or picture that has been taken by the camera and things like that. So,
do you think we've lost sight of that and it's about the image of popularity or being seen on a poster? Or do you think that people really, I mean, because what you're talking about is a lifestyle and a focus and a discipline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think we've kind of lost sight of that? Or, I mean, talking artists. Actually.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so, because there are great artists all over the world. And it's just that because there's the, you know, flood of information these days, we just see a lot of bad ones. And, of course, there is more dilettante around out there than true professionals. That's always the case. So we just have to educate ourselves to really decide for ourselves, what do I like and what do I not like, and why do I not like this and why do I like this. I think even though you don't create art, you can live as an artist, is the case. And if we all really find your own taste and, you know, opinion, then we can actually make so much more, because the world is so much smaller. And we, like, I'm sitting in my apartment and I'm able to watch the art that's been created in, you know, Australia, Asia, or Europe, anywhere. So that's a great thing that we can be all inspired by the entire world, anytime, anywhere. The only question is, you know, how much do you, how high do you aim as an individual? And that's, and that should be transferred to every single person in this world, regardless of who you are and what you do. And I feel like trying to say that in an art piece is a little bit selfish. I'd rather show by actions and things like that.
It sounds like you have very high standards for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But ballet in particular is an art form where you never can achieve the ideal. So how do you, that can be quite frustrating. So so how do you, what does that dilemma mean for you? Like, how do you
right.
deal with it? For some people it drives them insane and they have to stop, right?
Of course.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, it became so much clearer to me and easier for me to accept that I will never reach perfection since I've started teaching. And, you know, because it's never finished work, but that's why we procreate. You know, like, you pass on to the next generation, making sure that they've learned our mistakes and what we did right, and that they would take that in account. You know, like, we're all part of history, we're all part of one big river that keeps flowing. There's no stopping it. And of course, if you think about just you and yourself, of course, nothing makes sense. Why do you even live if it's just for yourself, right? Like, 'cause the minute you're gone, everything vanishes. But if you think about bigger picture, that's not the case. You're part of this amazing thing. And if I can contribute only 0.01% into that, then I've done my job, because that means the snowball just got a little bit bigger, and that makes me a part of, you know, this big piece of art.
Well, as a teacher once said to me, a good dancer can produce one good dancer, but
mm-hmm.
a teacher can maybe produce 20 good dancers, you know that?
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Will you always be wedded to ballet, or do you see yourself moving to contemporary dance? Or?
Well, I myself do contemporary street dance, no
street
theater.
Dance.
Yes, I try to. I have lots of street dancer friends.
You mean like hip-hop? Or
yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
Why do you do that?
Well, I just, sometimes I just look at YouTube and learn their steps and just emulate it. Well, of course, I have friends that are like break dancers and hip hoppers. And I just ask them, like, so what do you do this? And they would give me lessons and things like that. And that will, you know, humiliate me sometimes. Keep me humble. But that definitely develops my dancing in general. So I would like to, as a dancer, I would like to have every single genre inside of me so that I can actually make something new out of it. So I'm trying to learn tap dancing right now. Yes. Yeah, and of course I've done no theater, and the Japanese traditional dance form, and things like that as well. So it's all part of the... part of living an artist.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. Is there anything that you've never been asked that you always think, why doesn't anyone ever ask me that?
Huh.
I'm sure you get similar questions all the time,
but
what are things that people should know about dancers and the life of a dancer that, you know, people just don't ask the question, the right question?
I think I will know that when I will be asked. No, that's because, you know, like, wow, I don't know.
Is this an art form that you want your children to participate in? If you're it's in your DNA, so to be an artist, presumably your children, if you have them, will be artists. So is this the art form that you would recommend?
If they're serious about it, yes. But if, like, I think anybody should do what they really truly desire from the bottom of their heart, and that's also part of what I not to what makes me makes my life easier to live is that I know no matter what you do, like, it doesn't have to be an art, but you can still, you know, make a change, make something different, even as a construction worker or anything, mechanic. So I think what I'm trying to pass on is more the way to live, you know, the way to approach things, the way to live your every single day, rather than the art form itself, because I think that's what we're ultimately trying to become, is, you know, a better being that can inspire everything, anything and everything.
That's wonderful, Yukichi. Thank you very much.
Thank you.